Brother Billy Moran being with us to preach for us today. I was hoping he'd be here too to preach, but he felt led to go to New Bethel. They had called him to pastor, and he felt inclined to go and give them an answer today, and he will be back with us tonight. I want to encourage you, if you've not heard our evangelist, we're in a weekend revival meeting, and if you've not heard him, I want to encourage you to come back tonight at 6 o'clock and hear him deliver the Word of God. I've counted it a great joy and privilege of working with him, and the Lord has been here this weekend, and I'm anticipating the presence of the Lord today. We want to go to God in prayer. There may be something on someone's heart before we reverence the Lord. Again, I want to say to each one of you that are visiting, we're glad you're here. Hope that you're made to feel welcome here at Victory Church. We're going to call on the Lord today. We want to especially lift up those that are lost and in sin. Pray the Lord will deliver them today from their iniquities. Amen. Appreciate this praise. Yes. Amen. God bless you. Good to have you back. Someone else. Brother Barry Armour, would you lead our hearts as we pray? Let us all pray. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the 12th chapter of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12. I love studying the book of Daniel. I love reading prophecy found in the Old Testament and in the New. Most of you that's heard me preach would probably say, well, he's not a very deep prophetical preacher. It's apparent to me there are certain men that have good, wonderful gifts of prophecy where they are able to articulate and interpret scripture or prophecy in an eloquent manner. I'm not a deep prophetical preacher. Most of you know that. I deal mainly with the plain passages of Scripture. For me, the plain passages of Scripture alarm me. You know, it's not the stuff I don't understand that worries me, it's the stuff I do understand that worries me. These plain passages of Scripture that we find many times intermingled in deep prophecy. I'm going to begin reading in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, verse 1. I want us to notice a few things. I want us to notice how that God always provides divine deliverance for His children. He always provides divine deliverance for His people. In this, I want us also to note that deliverance doesn't necessarily come when we think it does. Deliverance doesn't always come when we expect it. See, I am convinced that every saved person will experience ultimate deliverance. It is not only a prophecy, it is a promise. We will be victorious. Notice in these passages of Scriptures, I begin reading in verse 1. And I understand the setting of these passages of Scripture. It's apparent to me that they're in light of the two kings that we read about in the previous chapter. I think you'll find in verse 11 and in verse 13 of the previous chapter concerning the king of the north and the king of the south, and how that there would be great trouble, a great battle, and how that Israel would be sandwiched right in the middle. Notice as I begin reading verse 1, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O Lord, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. It's obvious to me in these passages of Scripture that God is explaining to Daniel that ultimately he, along with all of God's people, shall experience deliverance. They will be saved. And couched in these passages of Scripture is a passage of Scripture that tell us of the ultimate day of deliverance, and that's the resurrection of the dead. Notice there in verse 2, he said in this passage, he says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. You know, Jesus taught us that he is the Savior and he is the Lord of the living and the dead. You know, people that die, their souls go somewhere. Their spirits go somewhere. I believe you read in the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes where Solomon in all of his wisdom said that when a man dies, that his body goes back to the dust of the earth, but the soul goes back to the God who gave it. Amen. The spirit of man continues to endure. It lives on. And in these passages of Scripture, it tells us that the people of God, the saved people, that they will experience ultimate deliverance. In that deliverance, it is explained to us that they will have everlasting life. Notice, he says in these passages that at the resurrection, that some will be raised to everlasting life, and some will be raised to everlasting contempt and shame. Now, I realize that many people today don't see the battle. They don't understand that we're engaged in a spiritual warfare. They don't understand that the church wrestles with principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places. And all through the ages of time, God's people have wrestled with and fought against the forces of evil. God's people always, the righteous people of God, have always contended with the wicked one. In these passages, we understand that there's going to be deliverance. I believe it was Peter that said in 2 Peter, in the second chapter, the 9th verse, He said, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust under the day of judgment to be punished. There's an old song a group used to sing. Actually, it was depicting the martyrs, how that during the dark ages, the martyrs were all gathered together and they were suffering many things. They were beaten, they were whipped, they were tortured. And they were all in this cell and they were trying to get these people to recant their faith, to denounce the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to denounce Him as the Messiah, to denounce Him as Lord. And to encourage them to denounce the Savior, they would take them one at a time from the prison, just outside the prison door, and they would behead them. And as they came to get one, to go out to the block to have his head removed, he was in chains and shackles. And as he approached the block, he started crying out, "We have won! We have won through the name of Jesus! We've won!" My friend, there's nothing that anybody can do to a saint of God to destroy him, because through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have already won. Amen. We don't work to obtain victory. Our victory was won for us when Jesus Christ died on the cross and saved us from our sins. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen. We've already won the victory. And I believe Daniel, it was being shown to him that the saints of God, the true remnant of God, the true people of God, the saints that lived in the Old Testament as well in the New, we are going to be victorious. Now let me share something with you. I believe that every saved person will experience victory over every trouble, every trial, and every ailment that we face in life. I believe when we get to heaven, those that go through life not able to see shall see His face. Amen. I believe that those that go through life and cannot hear and are saved by the grace of God, they shall hear the wonderful music of heaven. They'll hear their Savior say in His own voice, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I believe those that go through this life and cannot walk, I shall walk on the streets of gold. Amen. I believe every person who has suffered trouble or pain through cancer, other difficult and trying diseases, that when they get to heaven, there will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. Those of us that have gone through this life with many tears and many troubles, the Bible says that God shall wipe every tear from our eye. We are victorious. We've already won. Do what you want to this body. I know that when my Savior returns, and though the skin worms devour this old flesh, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He's going to raise the dead, the just and the unjust, and we're going to stand before the Lord, the Bible says, when He comes in power and great glory, and we'll sing the song of victory as we shout around the throne of God. Amen. Praise be to the Lord. They are not dead, those saints of God. You remember when Jesus was talking to the people on one occasion, and He said, "You don't understand." He said, "Don't you remember, haven't you read in the Old Testament when God spoke out of the burning bush and spoke to Moses? God said, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac." He was still their God. "I am the God of Jacob." I'll tell you why He said that. Because they were not annihilated. They ascended to the presence of God. They were still alive. An even full victory for them has not been experienced yet. In the third verse, I realize there are a lot of things in these passages of Scripture, but every commentator, every interpreter, every theologian, some of them kind of radical, many of them conservative, whether they were pre, post, amillennialist, doesn't matter, everyone agrees that in Daniel, this is having reference to the final resurrection of the bodies, both of the just and the unjust. Many of them which sleep in the dust of the earth, they shall awake, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Amen. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. As Isaiah said, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body, it shall arise. He says it will awake and sing, and those that dwell in dust, they shall arise to everlasting life. Do you this morning have everlasting life? I want to back up just for a minute. One of the important parts of understanding the coming of Jesus Christ is that he came to give us life. He came to give us life. The Bible says that he is that life, that in him is life, and this life is the light of men. He came that we might have eternal life, that we might experience everlasting life. Either you will awake at that day to everlasting life, or you will awake to everlasting damnation. This morning, you're either saved or you're lost. One of the main points I want to make in this message, and it's a very simple message, is that in order to awake at the resurrection to everlasting life, you must get that life now. Amen. You must experience the saving of your soul in time. I can prove that. There are many passages of Scripture that share that with us. Jesus taught that. When you hear his voice, when those that are in the grave hear his voice, some will come forth to life and some will come forth to damnation. Which will you come forth to? Will you come forth to life or will you come forth to damnation? See, it's real clear in Scripture. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. You're on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. There is no middle ground here. Amen. You're either one of the children of God or you're one of the children of the devil. You've either experienced eternal life or you're going to experience eternal damnation. Some awaken to life, some awaken to death. Which will you awaken to? The question is before you. The righteous, they'll be raised to life. Amen. Those that have believed in Jesus, those that have repented of their sins, those that have trusted God, they will awake unto life. Those that have not will awake unto death. Many passages of Scripture could be used this morning, but I want to use at least one or two that Jesus, a few statements of Jesus Christ in Matthew 25 and 46. He said that these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life everlasting. See, we have two different groups. You're either in one of the two groups. You either have everlasting life or you will come alive at the resurrection day unto everlasting punishment. There's a day determined. It's clearly spelled out in Daniel that day is determined. And that day, either you'll stand with the saved and the righteous or you'll stand with the wicked and the devil. One of the two. In that day, in the day of his power, notice, it says in Matthew 24, verse 29 and 30, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens, they shall be shaken. Amen? Amen. He said, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. There's no place to retreat. There's no place to hide. There's no place to be concealed. My friend, when the Lord comes, you need to realize that you might run for the rocks and the mountains to hide you from the face of the Lamb, but there'll be no hiding places. All things will be revealed and your destiny will be determined. Where death finds you, eternity awaits you. Amen. You must get saved. You must have everlasting life before you die. Amen. Or you will awake to damnation. You must have everlasting life before you die. It's clear in these passages. There's two ways. The way of the righteous, the way of the wicked. He says that in the 12th chapter of Daniel. We read there, as I read on into the chapter, various places. Verse 10, he talks about those that have been purified, those that have white robes. Praise God, I'm thankful for the purifying of the blood of Jesus Christ, aren't you? Yeah, where he cleanses us, where he makes us whiter than snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be made white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. Jesus Christ and his atoning death can save you. It can cleanse you. It will change you. Yeah, transform your heart and your life. You'll step from being wicked to being righteous through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He will change your want to. The Bible says those that are in Christ Jesus, they are changed. They are made anew. Bible says that all things are made new for them. He says old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will experience the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You'll be born again of His Spirit. When the fountain of the living water rushes through your soul, it'll spring up into everlasting life. Amen. Yes, it will. Listen, people, I've got that life right inside of me. And you must have the life of God in you through Jesus Christ. He said that this is, Jesus did. He said this is eternal life, to know the only true God and His Son whom he sent. You must have a fellowship. You must have a relationship. You must know God now, or you won't know Him there. Won't have fellowship. The word know is epikonosko. It means to have an intimate relationship with. That's what it means. Epikonosko. The word know. To know. That's eternal life. To have an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You cannot have an intimate relationship with God unless you have it through Jesus Christ. You cannot have a fellowship with God. You cannot be a son and daughter of God except through Jesus Christ. All right. What do we learn here? Well, there are many passages that I need to move on. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and 30, He said, "He that is not with me is what? Against me. Ye either on the Lord's side or you're on the devil's side." You might say, "Well, I'm not working for the devil. I'm not letting him rule and reign in my life." Those that have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says the wrath of God abides on them. The Bible clearly teaches us that only those that trust in Jesus have eternal life. You're either on God's side or you're on the devil's side. You either have everlasting life and you'll be raised to everlasting life, or you sit in condemnation today and you'll be raised to damnation then. Amen. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Some awaken to everlasting life, some awake to shame. All right, what have we learned? Well, I've made the statement several times that eternal life does not begin at the resurrection. Do you hear me? Eternal life does not begin when the body is raised, when the dust is awakened. Eternal life begins on earth. Amen. In time. Amen. Paul said in the 6th chapter of Romans, verse 23, he says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." You must have the gift of God here and now. Amen. You must receive the gift of forgiveness, the gift of eternal life here and now, or you won't have eternal life then and there. Amen. Which are you? Are you among those that are raised to everlasting life? Or are you today among those that will be raised to everlasting damnation? Jesus said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Amen? Amen. Did you notice the tense there? Jesus never did say, "He that believeth on me will have everlasting life." That's not what He says. Amen. You look there. Many times Jesus said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life." You can look in the 5th chapter of John. You can look in the 3rd chapter of John. He said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not," what? "See life." Amen. You will not see life unless you have life here. Amen.
There must be a new life in you that comes from God, or you're not saved. Amen. The Spirit of God, when it comes to abide with us and live in us through our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a new and living way, the Bible says. I'm glad I have that new life. Glad I'm saved by the grace of God. When I, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, came to the Lord seeking forgiveness, seeking eternal life, seeking forgiveness of my sins through the blood of Jesus, and trusted in Him, believed in Him with all of my heart, life came into my soul. A new and living way, and it has kept me in the way too. Peter said, we are kept by the power of God. Once you get it, God keeps it. And what will happen? He went a little further in Peter, and he told us that it'd be revealed in the last day. He keeps us saved until the day we are raised in incorruptible bodies. Amen. This corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. One of these days we'll climb out of the grave, and what are we going to declare? Ultimate victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Where's the victory? What did he say in the 15th chapter of Corinthians? Our victory is in Jesus Christ. Ultimate, complete victory. All right, notice here, John chapter 3, verse 36. He said, he that believeth on the Son has right now everlasting life. My question is this morning, do you right now have everlasting life? Do you know you have everlasting life? John, in 1 John, he says, I write these things that you might know that you have everlasting life. A person must know that they have everlasting life before they die, or they'll be raised to damnation. Amen. The only confident assurance that we have that we'll be raised to everlasting life is to have that life here and now. Many other passages that I could give. What is an eternal life? Eternal life is an endless duration. But there's something very special revealed to us in Scripture. That eternal life revealed in Scripture is a fellowship with God. Amen. If you don't have a fellowship, a right relationship, a rightness with God, a holy God, you don't have eternal life. The only way you can have eternal life is to have a rightness with a holy God, have a fellowship with a holy God, and that rightness and that fellowship comes through the only mediator. Paul said there's only one mediator between man and God. It is the man Christ Jesus. And the only way you get to God is through Him. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, He is the life. The eternal life you need must be found in Christ Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 28. Notice what Jesus says here. He clearly informed us that through faith you must unite with Christ in order to have this life, this awakening life. He said in John 10 and 28, He said, I give unto them eternal life. Jesus was saying that He gave it to them then and there. Amen. Here and now. And He said that they would be kept. And we need to be kept. Amen. Amen. Right. He said in this passage, and they shall never perish. Well, why didn't He say some of them might perish? Because that's not true. Every person that has experienced the life that comes through Jesus will never perish. He said that no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. Let me ask you again this morning. Are you sure you have everlasting life? John said in 1 John 5 and 13, you can know that you have everlasting life. You will either be raised to everlasting life or you will be raised to everlasting contempt. Here in this passage, it tells us of a day of divine division. There's going to be a separation one of these days. I realize people are mixed and mingled today, saint and sinner. Many times churches have lost people in them. People, that's wrong. Sometimes it can't be prevented. We're not sure. We can't look into somebody's heart. But there's coming a day where the secrets of the heart will be revealed. Amen? And they'll be tried by the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said that there's going to be a separation. He will, according to 24th chapter of Matthew, separate the sheep from the goats. You might get confused on which is a lamb and which is a goat. Many of you know the story. When I was in Israel, I paid one of them Arabs a couple of dollars to put a goat around my head to look like Jesus. I'm a city boy. I don't know the difference between a lamb and a goat. Everybody on the bus made fun of me. Look at that city boy. He thinks he's got him one of those lambs on his neck, and I had a goat. We may not know the difference between lambs and goats here, but the Lord Jesus does. He is the good shepherd. And if you don't come to the good shepherd, you will die without him. You'll go through the valley of the shadow of death alone. Amen. You must know the good shepherd. He said there'll be those that will awaken to everlasting life, those that will be awakened to everlasting contempt. The word contempt means repulsive. No wonder Jesus said there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They will awake to abhorrence. There will be a loathsomeness, a disgustiness, a hatefulness. They'll loathe themselves because they refuse the Lord of glory. They will be in such a state of abomination and desolation that they will be as the wicked that run to and fro, the Bible says here in the 12th chapter of Daniel. Listen, there's a lot of different people people in this world, a lot of different kinds of people. There are various races. There are many people that are smart and some are not so smart. There are different sizes of people. But the one thing that is provided for every person, whosoever will, plan of salvation has been provided for them. And every person can come to the foot of the cross and be saved, whether they're white or black, whether they're Arab or whether they're Chinese. It doesn't matter. It's for all people. Amen. Everybody can be saved. Eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is a constant union with God. Don't lose sight of that. Now, I'm like Paul. You know, he said, to be absent from the body, man, I'm just present with the Lord. I don't die or have an annihilation. Jesus said, one who believes in me, he said, he shall never die. He told, was it Martha or Mary? He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. Amen. He will have a perpetual, constant, ever-enduring relationship. He will have a union with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way to have a union with God. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. John chapter 5, verse 24. Not will have, not might have. He has it. I believe the tenses of the scripture are also divinely inspired. That's the reason that God chose the Greek language for the New Testament. Even the tenses are divinely inspired of God. Every one of them's right. He said, he, notice here, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and will never come under condemnation. Amen. Why? Because he's already passed from a state of death to a state of life. The Bible says that with God there is no beginning and no end. With God, he's eternal. He doesn't work within the framework of time like we do. I assure you, the victory's already been won for you if you're saved. You've already passed from death unto life. There may be a few loose ends like the body being raised, but you must have life now. You must have eternal life. We are born sinners in need of a Savior. We're already at the point of birth in the quicksand of sin. God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to alter your condition, to alter your circumstances. And if you don't come to the fountain and drink of the living water, you will die thirsty. If you don't come to the door, and Jesus is the door, if you don't come to the door, you will be left outside. Amen.
If you don't come to the Lord of glory, you will have no Lord on the day of the resurrection. If you don't eat of the bread of life, you'll die hungry. If you don't come to the true vine, the Bible says, you will be gathered and burned. If you don't come to the light, you will die in darkness. If you don't come to the source, which is able to quicken you spiritually, you will die unquickened. If you don't come to the one who is able to bear your burden, you'll die heavy laden. Oh, come to Jesus Christ. Moses said in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, as he was before the people of Israel, he said, I have set before you this day blessings and cursings, life and death. Choose life that you might live. Let's get a song. There's someone here this morning. You've never experienced the washing of regeneration. You've not been born again to the Spirit of God. You don't have the life that Jesus came to give. Come to the source of that life. You must come directly to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Don't come to me. Don't just come to the altar. Come to the Lord of glory. He lives. Amen? Amen. He resurrected on the third day. Paul said in the 14th chapter of Romans, I believe it's about verse 9, that Jesus Christ died and rose again that he might be Lord of both dead and the living. Yeah, he's Lord. Come to him. He will save you. He's alive forevermore. Come. Let's sing. Let the congregation stand. Would you come today and seek the Lord with all of your heart? God, have mercy. Would you come today? You will either awaken to everlasting life or everlasting damnation. Where the worm dieth not, the fire is unquenched. Come to Jesus. He wants to save you. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. You need that rest that comes through the crimson flow of Calvary. Come, drink of the water of life. Come, come to the water of life. Drink, take of the water of life today. God, help your soul see the light. May the light of the glorious gospel this morning shine in your heart. Would you come? Jesus came to give life. He said, I will give them life. You need that life here and now, or you'll experience the second death. God, help your soul to see that Jesus is the only way. Make your call and your election sure. Come to him who saves, who gives eternal life.